Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to episode 142. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going?
It's good.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's good. Very good? Just said very good.
Turkey Day.
Why am I talking about why am I saying very good?
Das ist gut.
Doing all sorts of accents.
Yeah. As we are recording this, this is the night before Thanksgiving, so... A wonderful weekend for Todd.
Is that what the...
You get the next two days off and two nights, so I won't have any work for two full days.
It's your food Super Bowl.
It's like my it's like a mini vacation.
That's right.
It's a great weekend. Got some basketball
games. Wow. Jeez.
And there you go, creepies. Wow. That was Nate with the big...
Better out than in.
Wow. Frog.
He's prepared for tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah.
It's
clearing
healthy.
Some room. All right, Nate.
Well, I just had dinner a little while ago.
At least it was the North Pole, not the South Pole.
Yeah. Oh, hey, everybody. Glad you could join us.
That's right.
Yeah, so it is. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. We are excited about that. Everything is going well with you creepies, and we want to say happy Thanksgiving. But then again, you could be hearing this. Mm-hmm. It could be like July.
It'll be like
next year.
Closer to Christmas at that point now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, what are you guys thankful for?
Huh?
What do you think?
Nothing. I am not thankful for a darn thing.
darn thing.
I work hard for everything I get.
Dadgunna, I haven't been blessed.
He works hard for me.
You know what I'm thankful for? You know what? I'm going to tell you on my shout out. So
yeah.
Let me hold off on that.
Can I say what
I'm
glad
you brought. No. But yeah, go ahead.
I'm thankful for Nate since he asked.
Why me?
I'm also thankful for Todd.
Are we thankful for this guy?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm thankful for allowing me.
He's all right.
I'm thankful for what we got.
I love my family, but I'm thankful for getting away from my family for a little bit.
It's probably the same with them.
I know. The feeling, they sent me out.
Trust me. I know.
Goodbye,
I know.
Honey.
I know. They always, every time I leave, they're like, hey, see you later, Dad. And they like really are excited.
I know. Yeah.
What? That's really weird. And when I come home, they're kind of like, oh, hey, you're back.
Whisk me out with a broom.
No, usually when I come back home, they're sound asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not tonight, though, because they got food prep to do. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're off, so they'll stay up late. The booger slept in until 3:30 today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, well, they didn't come out of the room until 3:30, but I think they were up not much sooner than that. So, anyway, good for them. Kids have a lot on
their
plate.
I couldn't do that when I was a kid.
Huh?
I couldn't do that when I was a kid.
I could sleep literally 29 hours a day. That's how I do my
sleep. I feel like I could, but I can't.
Yeah.
It's like I'm up and at them 9:30 at the latest.
Right.
Just can't do it.
I'll be sleeping until about 11. I'll have to set my alarm.
Like a teenager.
I do. 52 years old and I sleep like I'm 12.
That's awesome.
Got to get my mom tomorrow, 12:45.
Nice.
Sharp.
Mama Carol.
Carol, yeah.
Yeah. So,
shout out to Carol.
That's the only reason I'm getting up at pick her up. She can't drive and she can't walk that far. We're glad to get this going. I've got a dad joke of the show. It says
it
right here.
Related?
Todd's dad joke. Huh? What'd you call me?
Oh. Turkey related.
No, it's not, actually. No, it's not.
That's a shame.
You know, it is a shame. And here's a shame, Sean.
Shame, Sean.
I just lost my screen. No, that's okay.
You didn't lose your screen. It's right there.
Well, I lost... Yeah. Technically, Nate, I did not lose my... But I lost the screen I wanted. Let me...
okay.
And it is my fault. So carry on about yourselves. talk amongst yourself.
I
honestly can't.
So I will. I got a filler real quick because
I'll give you a topic.
I wanted to say something.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
So on Hulu there is a show called The Most Terrifying Places in the United States or the America or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Is that an old one?
It is an older one. Yes, but it's fantastic. You probably watched it, and it is. basically everything we've covered. There was one place so far I've watched that we hadn't covered, so it's going to be one of my picks down the road, coming up here soon. But Jen, it was Jenna's idea. She's like, let's watch The Most Terrifying Places and Haunted and all this stuff. Really cool, though. But she was like, I was like, every one of them, like, before they even said what it was, I saw the pictures and I saw where it was at on the map. I'm like, that's Waverly. That's going to be the Myrtle Plantation. And she's like, how do you know this place? I go, we've covered them all. So
what
it was so
what
much
does she
fun
think
though
we do for a living?
Well, I told her,
maybe not for a living.
Watching the Waverly when I'm like, so you want to come to Waverly the next time? She goes, no, I do not.
Well, it's fun.
I think deep down she really does.
I do too.
Because it seems like the more you talk about Jen and this stuff, she's interested.
Comes up
she,
with this. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you guys talk about this?
It Jenna won't happen because she'd want Rachel to go, and Rachel will not go.
No, that's true.
That ain't happening.
No. The other thing I was going
to
mention,
as my dad would say, there's a slim to none chance, and Slim just left town. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. The other funny thing is,
wishing one. Nah, I won't go that one.
Harrison has. I'm not going to embarrass him, but Harrison has a girlfriend, and we're not going to mention names, but. When they get together, they've been watching
Beatrice
scary movies, and I mean, she'd never seen Beatrice. Is right.
Phyllis. sorry, Helen's and Phyllis is out there.
Right. But he's been having her watch scary movies, and I was like, "Oh, she likes scary movies." He goes, "These are the first ones she's ever watched. She's never watched them before." And I said, "Are you making her watch them?" He goes, "No, she wants to."
That's awesome.
Isn't it cool? Yeah,
that's a can do.
That's a keeper. Rachel. That's a keeper.
Like, is this a scary movie? Yes, it is. Nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
Not even...
she does not partake in that.
Not even like a... Just not like a creepy movie?
She likes...
Like a...
She likes like... mystery, suspenseful...
Thriller.
Yeah, thriller. But yeah, if it has anything to do with like...
She wouldn't watch like The Conjuring?
Or,
like
no.
Haunting
no,
type?
Okay. Nothing with ghosts, nothing with...
She hates the devil.
So then demons are out.
Demons, yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not her cup of tea.
Anything that's produced and directed by Rob Zombie, you can forget it.
Yeah.
So the girl like, well, Brenda cuts my hair. Her and her husband, they don't like that stuff. I mean, they love the psychological, and I'll say, oh, we watched a scary movie. She's like, nope.
But so. She'll sit there and watch all those police shows where they...
Oh, yeah.
I know. 48 Hours and all that kind of stuff. You know, catch a murder and all that. She loves all that stuff. Dateline.
She doesn't want to be the scary stuff. That's the jump scares and all that.
It's like, that stuff's more scary to me. It's real life.
I know.
Right? That's right.
That is true.
Yeah, a lot of the horror movies are made up. But some of the paranormal stuff, I believe, is real.
Mm-hmm. We watched one a week ago, and I can't remember what it was. I was going to tell you guys about it. It was really good. It was one that we just came across. Oh no, never mind. Brett from Evil Never Dies had seen it. Cobweb, that's it. Cobweb. Okay. Maybe I don't know if I did I mention it.
Anything like arachnophobia?
No.
Okay.
No. Has no.
Arachnophobia didn't scare me. It was more creepy.
Yeah, it was.
I don't mind spiders, crawly. But if there's a million,
can you
spiders
can you imagine having that in your house?
I'm freaking out,
and they're coming. Ugh.
And then at the end, fighting
the big boy,
the big ones is like, no. I'll leave him alone.
I
leave you alone. You leave me alone. We're good.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, and he's got the spray.
Yeah,
he's got the flame
aerosol.
And the thing it's just scurrying. Like, ooh,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't like spiders. No, Cobweb is a good movie. Check that out.
Okay.
It's really good.
Another old one.
What?
That freaked me out. Ticks.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen that. I know that? I know the movie, but I've never...
Yeah, I remember that one.
It's like Godzilla.
Yeah, it is an old
ticks.
One. Yeah. Okay.
They're like these big little puppy-sized, and they'd like crawl underneath people's skin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, I'm getting heebie-jeebies.
No, I have heard of I like tacks. I've seen tacks.
But not ticks.
No, not ticks.
You've seen the ticks.
And I like tic-tacs.
The tick ever.
No, that's not my dad joke either.
Okay, I'm ready for your dad joke. We have given you more than enough time.
Yeah, thank you. Man, ticks. I've heard of that. So I was going to tell you that a buddy of mine actually does work for a theater. Did I tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
He is having a problem falling through floorboards. And I said, what is the deal? He's like, that's just a stage I'm going through.
Nate is not abused.
So he gets
funny,
better.
That's funny. I thought it was going to end and break a leg.
No. I mean, if he doesn't, get through the stage. Oh, gosh. I was going to ask you, Nate, did you know someone in here is possessed by an owl?
Who?
Oh, Sean!
It's Nate!
Look, it's Nate! Thank you for saying that. I was hoping somebody would.
Joke's that?
Oh, man.
Dad jokes.
Hey, I'm here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitress. That is your double dad joke
of
the show.
A long time ago. You know that waitress?
Come back. Come back. No. Anyway, there you go. That's the dad
Phyllis
joke.
Phyllis Helen.
Of the show. And it's not that I wasn't making fun of the names Phyllis and Helen. It's just
kind of work.
Because they're older names. And so
I
that's,
know, yeah.
There's a Phyllis out there and going,
I'll find
money.
You.
I know. No. Anyway, hey, Sean.
Yes.
Way over there. Can you do the first announcement, please?
I can. And I will. First part of the announcements.
It's in your contract, by the way.
It is in my contract, I know, so I better get to it. We always get together, right, record. We have fun time, guy time,
all
paranormal,
time.
Creepy, all of the above, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the most important thing we do, and we will do this forever and ever, until God strikes us dead or keeps us, gives us.
Wow.
Well, I hope he doesn't get really, that mad at me.
It's
can you wait till like Friday? Because I really want to eat tomorrow.
Give us another week, God. But we are here to build a mental health community. So we want you to call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis you may be experiencing. You can also text home to 741-741 for professional help.
Batman.
If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
It is.
It's true story.
Whether you're bullying or bowling.
You just wait for me to say bowling. Bowling.
Or bowling. Bowling, bullying, bang, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sean. We do want... you know what? Again, especially around these times,
right.
Thanksgiving and Christmas, it can get depressing, and if you're missing loved ones, or you're lonely, or you're just struggling with finances. I have been through all of that, and just hang in there, and get the help you need, and reach out to us.
Coping with your cohorts or
man.
Your co-hosts.
Just do not remove yourself from Don't.
I meant me. Did you have to deal with me?
I was going to skip past that. But since you brought it up.
Dealing with the co-hosts.
No, we want. Yeah, just don't remove yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, just if it's one friend or family member, just hang in there, talk to them, and you can always ask to don't try to solve it for. Just listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, I'm really bad at that. I'm like. I have good intentions. I'm like, if Amy wants to just gripe about something or she, you know, I think I need to fix it. And she's like, I just want you to listen. You know, I'm like, sorry. That's what we do. But, 988-741-741. Get your help.
Griping at me. I'm usually the problem, too.
Say.
They should not deny it.
See, the first thing to getting healthy is to admit it.
Acceptance, right?
Acceptance, Nate. That's good. That's
at
good.
Least that's where my brain goes.
Yeah.
It's the key to unlocks a lot of doors, right?
I'm probably not the problem, but I feel like I am.
Or you could be.
So I meant to tell you, Nate.
So I just lock myself in a dark closet and cry.
Get in the fetal position.
Yeah.
All by myself.
Oh, man.
Don't
no, wow. You really pulled out an old one for that.
You know.
Where are we at now? Oh, hey.
Little picture.
So, yes, we love you, Creepy, so get help.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Shout outs and special announcements. So, Nate, any shout outs for this Thanksgiving?
Everybody just have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Probably when you listen to this, it's already happened, so I hope it was an enjoyable.
Yeah, it'd be like April. Yeah. 2024.
How long are we going to put 142 off?
Yeah.
Well,
we don't know when people are going to listen to this, though.
Well, this is true.
That's what we're...
No, I know. Yeah, that's right. It could be 2020. Could be 2025. I thought you're dead.
Yeah, I mean, somebody...
I can drop it in April.
No, just...
I don't care.
Yeah.
Have a good day every day.
Yes. Yes. Be thankful every day. Sean.
To the exact
word,
outs. That's exactly what I was going to say. So he just stole my...
No.
stole the thunder.
I'm going to give one shout out. This was not planned, but it's something I mentioned to you, Todd, at work. A girl I work with, Terrell, she does listen to our show.
Terrell?
Terrell.
Okay,
yeah.
So make sure.
She went down to the old Talbot Tavern, by the way. Down in
Kentucky.
And
the old Talbot Tavern.
She went down the Bourbon Trail, and she said, "I'm going to."
It's really hard to take. I mean,
it is. It's, so she sent me pictures, and I was like, "You know, we covered this, right?" And she's like, "Oh, what episode was it?" So I sent it to her. She can listen to it. So she told me about one of her patients. This is a minor, by the way, so I'm not going to mention her name. But I can. Her dad, his name is Brian. And so Terrell had told me some stories about this particular girl that were paranormal in nature. I will not tell them right now, so this will be something to think about. But I got to meet her today. She said, "Hey, do you have a minute? I know it's holiday. You probably want to get home." I said, "Yeah, I got time." She said, I'd love for you to meet her. I told her about you guys, that you have this podcast, and I'd love for you to meet her and her father." So her dad's name is Brian. And so he and I were talking paranormal. I got to meet her, and I shook their hands, and I told him about the podcast. And he said, "What is it on Spotify?" And I said, "Yeah." I go, "Anything associated with Rogan, right?" And I told him, I said, "We are waiting for that call from Rogan, which and the one from Dan Aykroyd." So he goes, "Well, you got a new follower." He said, "I'll listen to you." I said, "If you like what you hear, then please, look into the social media stuff." But anyway, so shout out to Brian. So I appreciate the time. I appreciate you meeting or getting to meet you. And then also you giving us a listen. So I hope you enjoy it. And I did tell that Terrell goes, "You're going to have him on and tell the story." And I said, "We do either anonymous. You can tell us the story." I'm like, "If you like it," I said, "listen to us first before you think about it." I said, "We do have guest chats," and I was telling different people we've had on and places that we've covered. And so he seemed really excited. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm right there." So
good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I'm really jealous.
Welcome aboard,
about
Brian.
Yeah. I'm jealous about the old Talbot. Man, see, I knew the old Talbot Tavern.
Yeah, I would love to go there. She didn't stay, but she was there for the part of the part of the tour. And, so I asked her if she put her finger in the bullet hole. She said, "You're not allowed to."
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know if it's behind glass or if it's roped off where you can't do that because maybe too many people did that. But I don't know. But she said you weren't allowed.
You can do it as long as you don't get caught.
That's right.
Bull cruddy.
Exactly.
I don't like it. I don't like it a bit.
Can you put your finger in?
That's the one that the bar and restaurant is below, and they've got the rooms above, but they said it can get so loud.
Yeah.
If you have a room right above it, it's pretty...
Party central.
Party central, yeah. So, Jerry and Tracy went there. Mm-hmm. And, so I have to go check that out. The old Talbot Tavern. I just had to say it one more time just to get through. I have a shout-out. So, since Nate asked what am I thankful for, I am very thankful for you guys and the podcast. Thank you. Thankful to the Creepies and all of the friends we've met doing this podcast, all the investigators, authors, all three of them. No, we're up to three now. All the creepies that listen, that we interact with. Who else? What else did I say? Fellow podcasters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and even people that we've, Jackie, sweet Jackie the jail. Like people like that we've met. So I'm thankful for that.
Authors.
Thankful for my family, friends, my jobs. And, I could go on and on. This would be an 8-hour episode.
Oh, that's right. Mm. Yeah, we got lots of names, right?
No, we are. I think we're all thankful for everything this podcast has given us, right?
Mako family.
It's been awesome. It's been
We call it a family, but it's really a cult. We know that,
Right? Yeah, well, family cult.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, Nate, you went right for the judge. I got it. Okay.
What? I drink it every night.
There's an additive in there.
Yeah, but that's actual Kool-Aid.
Yeah, right. So, shout out to all our friends and family. And everybody that is involved with Mako, they are definitely family. So, we love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, and there's no special announcements, so I don't have anything on that end. Nope, sorry.
Just that it's Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah. Again, if you're listening, it could be,
Easter. It might be 4th of July tomorrow.
I know. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
2024.
Yeah. Sean.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, this is going to be Todd's pick. So, credit where credit is due. But this is Pennhurst Asylum. Two N's.
Yeah, I typed it out with one. Didn't mean to,
Spelled
like Pennsylvania. Pennhurst Asylum, creepy place.
Pennsylvania, right? I would love to say that.
You have a little foundation.
I do, actually.
Sir. Thank you.
Pennhurst State School and Hospital, originally known as the Eastern Pennsylvania State Institution for the Feeble-Minded, which is basically me, And the epileptic was a state-run institution for mentally and physically disabled individuals of southeastern Pennsylvania, located in Spring City. After 79 years of controversy, it closed on December 9th, 1987.
Hmm. I was a sophomore.
I do say.
You did say. He did say, Nate. Mm-hmm. Pennhurst Asylum was when it was in operation. I think of all the places we've talked about, all the awful places, this might be, in my opinion, probably the worst one. Very bad, and because it involves children. We'll give a little bit of a heads up. It does have some bad stuff about like treatment of kids. So if that, you know, if you don't want to listen to that, then I totally understand. A rough place, though, for adults, but especially kids. So bad history.
I'm impressed with the name. Eastern Pennsylvania State Institution for the Feeble-Minded and Epileptic.
Quite a name, right?
That is a long name.
Yeah, that was one of the first things they said it was.
That's the EPSI name.
asylum.
They opened the institution when you say Eastern, and by the time you get to the end of it, they've closed the facility.
Right. And that's a wrap. Wait, what?
They said it was a catch-all because you could have physical, mental disabilities. You could have people that had autism or seen as
ADHD.
ADHD, any kind of
uncontrollable,
thing.
Unruly.
Things that we think of as, you know, a lot more normal now and that are understood, you know, a heck of a lot more now, more seen as just like, I can't control this person. I don't know what to do with them. So this is where you bring them, and this is where you forget them. So, I mean, that's not how they touted themselves. They touted themselves as, marketing-wise, was like, this is where they will rehabilitate. This is where they will get excellent care. And that was not the case to a large degree.
No, and like I said, I think of all the asylums and mental hospitals and all of that we've done, this could be the worst, in my opinion.
Right.
They're all bad. So it was a former institution for the mentally and physically disabled, located just outside of Philadelphia. And then, of course, they do, which is kind of cool, all these places, they do not just the tours and investigations, but they do use them during Halloween for haunted attractions. Mm-hmm. So I love that because once these places close down, you got to find something, you know, instead of bulldozing them over and then, at least doing something for... can't change the past, but at least there's something fun, I guess, you can make out of it. The building that's
where a lot of the
used to have awful
the good
things.
Stories and some of the videos I watched, the people that were either going there for the haunted house or that were part of the haunted house had a lot of different experiences, and they said something as simple as like where the ticket booth is at, but you know, when they were finishing up, they said routinely they would hear screams from the buildings and screams from that, you know, around that area.
That would be horrible.
That would send chills up the spine, and they're all like, that wasn't us, you know.
Right. Mm. So it says that the sprawling Pennhurst State School and Hospital, you know, like you said, Sean, was shut down in 1987 after years of chronic overcrowding and patient abuse. Says now a businessman has turned the property into a haunted house. Mm-hmm. Now, this is interesting. Which I get it. The move has upset people, though, who say it trivializes the suffering of those who live there. I get why they said that, or why they might think that. But again, you're turning something that was so awful, negative. You're not making fun, or you're not trying to make light of what happened. You're just trying to turn it into something at least positive and more.
Still utilize the space.
And utilize, right? Yeah, and I get it. I know some people are like, demolish it. I get it. I totally get all that, but I don't think that's his intention. Mm-hmm. You know, but he said Pennhurst began as an institution of care for the feeble-minded, as they used to call it. It operated under appalling conditions, and no one noticed. But Bill Baldini was a young reporter for the local Channel 10 television station when he got a tip, and he made it out to Chester County to see the institution. He soon returned with the camera crew. He said, as we started shooting and my crew was mortified, I mean, I had trouble keeping them on the job because they were literally getting sick from what they saw, Baldini says. His five-part series aired on local TV in Philadelphia in 1968. The reports showed images of naked, emaciated residents swaying back and forth to their own internal rhythms or curled up in balls. The children were tied to their beds. To this day, Baldini cannot forget. He says, "Think of a ward of infants and children from the ages of 6 months to 5 years old," Baldini recalls. "There are 80 of them in metal cages. They had to attend to them every day, all day. These people were literally lying in their own feces for days." Jim Conroy, a medical sociologist, arrived at Pennhurst a couple of years later to research developmental disabilities. He said, "I drove up in 1970 in my dad's blue Chevy, and I saw a place with 3,700 people in it that was built for far, far fewer. And I saw things I will never forget," Conroy says. Both Baldini and Conroy say the site should become a memorial to the past, not a haunted house. So, that's a couple of guys that they are not on board with.
They said that under that it was basically kind of an undercover operation too, because he went in, you know, with the journalism, because they went in, you know, talking to doctors and trying to like pretend like they were looking for the, you know, the treatments and kind of looking at it from a scientific viewpoint, but they were actually undercover. And the film is called Suffer Thy Children, right? Mm. And I watched part of it, and it's very, very hard to watch. But some of the way they were tied down, and you could see the marks on their bodies.
Yeah.
And they said there was one building that was some of the most violent children and offenders. You know, they said that's got some of the most activity. There was another one that was called like the graveyard, and it was like patients that couldn't get out of their bed. And they said a lot at first they had them situated where their beds were facing the playground. There's a famous playground there, which also has activity, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids that were bedbound and couldn't get out, of all ages, it was like torture for them, because they'd sit there and watch the kids that could play.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was like, so they were like, oh, this is inhumane in itself. But they said that, and then they also changed the name of it. They didn't call it the graveyard, I guess, forever. But at first it was just like people that were, you know, basically living corpses. And it's just, it is absolutely heart-wrenching when you watch, like I said, that documentary. They also had many buildings. Some of them are not there anymore. And they said one of the most controversial buildings, once it was like how bad it was, the people were being treated there and abused and all that. They said that it was torn down, and you can still see like the footprint of it in the grass, but it was like completely demolished, and like they were just trying to erase how awful it was there, mm-hmm. by just getting rid of it.
They said there's upwards of 30 buildings on the campus, 634 acres of property, and it would house initially no less than 500 patients at a time.
It had
30 buildings, because I watched a video and they said 20, but maybe that's 20 now. So yeah, you're talking about, okay.
Yeah, because some of those are definitely, well, and the other thing, they said that there were tunnels underneath the buildings. Mm-hmm. Then there were tunnels under the tunnels, and those subterranean tunnels had collapsed, which had made the tunnels on top of them collapse, and then the buildings were starting to collapse, so that some of those had to go. Because of that, you know, instability, but they said they still have some of them.
Yeah.
And they used to be numbered, and then they started naming them as, like, different cities around Pennsylvania, so one like the Hershey Building, and something called Limerick, Mayflower, Penn Hall, Philadelphia Hall. So it was interesting that they started trying to make them more personalized to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it only took 4 years after it opened to start being overcrowded. And the state was pressuring them to admit immigrants, orphans, and even criminals.
Oh, gosh. They had 10,000 patients.
Isn't that crazy?
Estimated that...
overcrowded.
Over the years, 10,000. And it said, residing in one of the most, or in the many buildings, says overwhelmed parents dropped off their children who were mentally retarded or autistic. Again, these are words that aren't that great to use anymore, but... says hoping the school would provide for them. Said sadly though, many of these children were abandoned to become wards of the state. Said that despite the high number of patients requiring special care, the state provided the institution with meager funds, which that's not good. So said there were very, very few doctors, nurses, and orderlies available to even meet the patient's needs. Like, yeah, how are you gonna, you know, I mean, if you don't have the funds, that's not gonna be, that's a bad start.
Mm-hmm.
Staff and funds, you gotta have, that's, you know,
they segregated the girls and boys for part. Obviously, they wanted.
I'm surprised they did.
Well, and that's what's interesting is, so there was segregation in eugenics. So in 1913, the legislation appointed a commission for the care of the feeble-minded, which stated that disabled people were unfit for citizenship and posed a menace to the peace, and thus recommended a program for custodial care. Furthermore, the commission desired to prevent the intermixing of the genes of those in prison with the general population. In the biennial report to the legislation submitted by the Board of Trustees, Pennhurst's chief physician quoted Henry H. Goddard, a leading eugenicist, as follows: "Every feeble-minded person is a potential criminal. The general public, although more convinced today than ever before that it is a good thing to segregate the idiot or the distinct imbecile, they have not as yet been convinced to the proper treatment of the defective delinquent, which is the brighter and more dangerous individual." They said that they basically separated the men and women until the birth control came along. And then with birth control, they started treating them with that, and then a lot of them intermingled, which I
think that's great.
And so then it says, the treatment of women. In 1916, the Board of Trustees initiated a plan to construct cottages specifically for women to segregate them from the men, in part to prevent pregnancies.
Wow.
So one thing, this is a separate thing, but when it was closed down, so it closed, you know, obviously because just of all the, you know, with that, with the 68, conspiracy and everything, and then shining a light on how awful they were being treated. And when it closed down, it said, in 77, they ruled the conditions of Pennhurst School violated patients' constitutional right. The lawsuit that led to its ruling was filed in 74. Representing patients, suit later joined the United States. You know, blah, blah, blah. The facility was ultimately closed in 1987. So from 87 to the 2000s, it got so overgrown with like ivy and all the weeds and everything. They said that there's a wall that was going between all the buildings, and it was this catwalk. And these guys were the ghost host hunters that were being taken a tour. They were shown this, and it was all clear now. But when it was overgrown, they said it was so overgrown that the bulldozers that came out to clear it couldn't even notice. They didn't know about the catwalk, and they ran their bulldozers right into the catwalk. And wow. I was like, that's a lot of overgrown, yeah. You know. And they said they can't even imagine how bad that would have been for bulldozers to just run right into them.
Yeah, they said, well, in 1981, Time magazine did an article describing Pennhurst as having a history of being understaffed, dirty, and violent. And then in 1983, 9 asylum employees were indicted on charges of slapping and beating patients, including those in wheelchairs, and arranging for patients to fight one another.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like your own little WrestleMania, little MMA. It's awful. What is wrong with these people? Yeah, bad.
They
also said that, you know, back in the day, they had a you know, we've talked about this before in other places, but you know, patients biting, you know, and so they said that the resident dentist, to curb this behavior, they would take them and remove all their teeth.
No, so they can't bite anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then, and they said that the chair, like the main dentist area, whatever, is still there in the one of the tunnels. I'm like, ugh, creepy. Yeah. But yeah, they ripped their teeth out. And I bet it wasn't, and they said it was with like a, you know, not the best tool, you know, it wasn't clean. You know, when sterilized, they just, yeah.
And then that's a high risk for infection.
Yeah, very sad. They said that, so once they closed the doors in 1987, and the network of buildings, you know, like you said, got so neglected, pretty much it was left to the tortured, sad spirits. And it says, today, caretakers of the property believe that the buildings and underground tunnels are haunted by the angry spirits of patients who suffered and died here. Says there are reports of slamming doors, footsteps, and sounds of vomiting coming from otherwise empty rooms. Some witnesses have seen the spirit of a little girl roaming the buildings, perhaps waiting to tell her own story of sorrow and neglect. So there
that,
you go.
That documentary was called in 68 was Suffer the Little Children.
Yes, so that's a very that. Yeah, Suffer. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it is. It's something if you I'm not you got to have a it takes a lot to watch it, I'll be honest with you, but it is definitely something that is it gets your attention for sure.
Yeah,
as if all the more or less torturing of patients and death. There were reports of satanic worship on the property.
Today. Oh, I hadn't heard that's that.
Positive.
Yeah.
That's positive. Let's just add.
Just throw it on top.
what's wrong with a little satanic worship?
Just sprinkle that on there.
Oh, man. That's that's getting worse, actually.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This place was nuts. Yeah, not good. Not good, Sean.
That I believe.
So, let's get to the haunted stuff. So that kind of gives the creepies a little good background of actually what this place was in its operation days and how mistreated the patients were, especially the kids. But yeah, let's get to the paranormal, the fun, creepy stuff. So I said that it did, you know, like I said, they have lots of slamming doors and the vomiting. That would be an awful sound. Yeah, I don't know. Have we heard of a place where they hear vomiting sound?
I mean, I don't think so. No.
You know, you hear the screams and the yells and all that, but I don't know if we've heard vomiting. So it says that those tunnels remind me of I was listening to the podcast the other day and they're talking
about
Central State, mm-hmm. and I don't know if I'd want to go down there, but then I don't know if I would want to go down there because if you're walking through a building, you figured you're going to make it out. But man, that tunnel, especially if they collapse, like what if something happened, you know, or you lose your way or something paranormal happens and you get the doors locked on you or something. That it'd be fascinating and really interesting, but I don't know if I'd take the chance. I don't know about you guys, but
I
don't know. I mean, we walked through the Indiana State Sanatorium tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Those seem like they're creepy. I mean, they're creepy and pretty decent, but they don't seem so. I feel like I'm going to make it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've never, the 2 times we've been there, but some of these things, I don't know.
Sounds like the energy is pretty dark here, and they even
right. Like not the sanatorium doesn't have it, and they had their issues, but I'm just saying, man.
Let's see, yeah.
It just seems different.
I think if we were in the tunnels and
or maybe
started hearing, like, crying somewhere in the
really
distance.
So far we haven't had, I know.
Yeah, like, I don't know about this.
Well, they say that you can...
Go the other way, go the other way.
You can
turn around.
Obviously hear things and whatever, but they said a lot of people feel things and you feel little, like, kids, you know, like hands or just that, you know, just the pathetic nature of some of these children that are just reaching out for help. And it is unnerving, to say the least, of the energy that a lot of people feel here. And it is. It's just with the terrible treatment that they had. I do think it's interesting. I mean, it was such a big facility, but it says, like many similar facilities of the era, Pennhurst was functionally almost completely independent from the rest of society. It operated its own power plant, policed its own grounds, and produced its own food. And any additional needs were supplied by a railway line that connected the campus to the outside world. The facility could operate without any interaction with the surrounding community. And that was the way community preferred it. So people didn't ask questions. And when it was, like I said, in marketing, they were shown, it just, people thought, oh, I'm sending my loved one to a good place. Don't know what else to do with them.
Right.
Probably not going to have anything else to do with them. You know, but you felt you were able to sleep at night just because you thought you were putting them in a good place.
Sure. Yeah. Parents or caretakers, they thought they were doing the right thing. And, you know, I know some probably knew what was going on and they didn't care. But I think most thought they were really giving their kids or whatever a chance to, get better or rehabilitate or, you know, and then it just, they didn't know the awful conditions. So Haunted New Jersey, a paranormal group, they went to Pennhurst, to check out the paranormal activity. And they said, says the group has conducted several large-scale investigations of the old asylums, many buildings, and they documented a variety of evidence of paranormal activity, including photos, videos, recordings of voice phenomena, and personal encounters with the spirits. It says among the recordings are the sounds of disembodied voices uttering things like, go away, I'll kill you, that's good, we're upset, and why do you come here? It's said that an unknown male states, "I'm scared," while an invisible female asks, "Why won't you leave?" Says here are just some of the group's other findings, and I'll just read the one. Because like I said, we talked about they have many buildings on this campus. This is called the Quaker Building. So in the Quaker Building, the Weird New Jersey crew, they said numerous shadows manifest and dissipate at will. These shadows include what appeared to be a small female child with long black hair, a hunched over presence with long dangling arms, and the upper portion of bodies looking over or around obstacles. Doors and a rocking chair have moved without anyone being near them. An investigator was shoved from behind hard enough on a stairway to leave a deep red mark on the small of his back. An investigator was scratched on the arm by an unknown object when they were not by anything or close to any walls. Objects being propelled in the basement, such as a pry bar, some sort of brass fixture, and various other unknown objects. Multiple EVPs, as well as EMF spikes throughout the building when there is no electricity supplied to many buildings there, or any of the buildings, sorry. Our psychic medium, Sharon Pugh, has felt multiple energies there, including either a demonic force or a past life that wasn't a very nice person. That's crazy. That's good stuff.
I think it's interesting.
Scary stuff, but good stuff.
It really is. I mean, I know we can get pretty deep into some of it, how you know, awful some of these the conditions were, but they described, like, some of these kids were so...
They're ticked,
but they would, you know, they were so out of it that they would, like, some of these patients would run headlong into the wall. So that's why they felt like they needed to time down for their own safety.
Yeah.
But they said that you can even have some of these spectral figures doing that or, you know what I mean, they're hearing them, or hearing the ropes, you know, kind of like the sound of ropes that are being tightened. And screams and groans and moans.
I'm listening to you. You got something flying around.
Do it, really?
Yeah. I was like, what the heck? To go back when I was talking about the dentist pulling out their teeth, mm-hmm. they said that most of the time all the kids were drugged very heavily. They didn't even know what was going on.
Well, and then some of them are nonverbal, so they can't get out, you know, what they want to say. So you, like I said, the moans and mm-hmm. the groans and the this and that, it's just their way of trying to communicate as well. So it's kind of, it's weird. They said that you just don't know, like, you're not always going to get verbal, you know, signs of ghost activity.
I don't know if it was adults and kids, or the kids, or both, probably both, but they said that some of the patients were locked away for so long without any interaction that they lost the ability to speak.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's insane. That's crazy to treat people like that. I don't care if it was 1908 or 2023. This place is rife with. You like that word, rife?
I like rife.
With paranormal, because of what's going on. Says the Limerick building. Excuse me, Limerick building. Says the apparition of a woman in old-style nurse's uniform was observed by a firefighter, police officer, and a Marine. And they had multiple EVPs.
Mm. What is it that's flying around? Is it a specter? I want to know if it's a ghost behind me.
Ladybug.
Oh, that's not what I want to know.
or is it?
Or is it?
Slenderman, isn't it? Yeah, Slenderman. He's still around.
Slenderbug. Oh.
It says, paranormal Pennhurst. Naturally, as with any such institution with a sordid history of human suffering, violence, and death, Pennhurst is not without its share of ghostly tales. Pennhurst is allegedly so haunted, in fact, that its paranormal presences have spawned a spectral cottage industry, ghost hunting on the grounds of the old asylum. In addition to overseeing the restoration projects at Pennhurst and operating the Pennhurst Asylum haunted attraction during the Halloween season, Timothy Smith is also president and CEO of the Pennhurst Paranormal Association. Using the enticing tagline, "They lived here, died here, and are still here," the organization plans to open up the former hospital to the public for ghost hunts on the campus, which has been happening, with other former institutions turned tourist attractions such as Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia and Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Louisville, Kentucky. As business models, Timothy believes that the public's curiosity about Pennhurst spooks make it a potentially very profitable paranormal property. The television show Ghost Adventures has also filmed an episode of their Travel Channel program here. A lot of them have, actually.
Mm-hmm. Nate, we were talking about being in the tunnel system,
mm-hmm.
and if we had heard, like, if we were at Indiana State, it would kind of change the tone.
Mm-hmm.
If we heard, well, here in the Philadelphia building, what's wrong with me? says loud sounds and voices heard coming from the building. Investigators surrounded the building and entered it via the tunnel system. Said no one was in the building, nor could they have fled without being observed. They heard loud sounds and voices coming from that area. That would do it. I'd be like, what's going on? Sean, is that you? Nate?
That's me.
Okay, let's go.
That's me.
Yeah, that would change the whole scene, I think, for me. Also, shadow people are seen many times, especially in the Mayflower building. Lots of EVPs in the Devon building. Says one of the investigators had their legs touched, and multiple EVPs in the Tenicum building. Administration building, multiple voices heard at various times, and EVPs caught of what appears to be a toilet flushing. Okay. this building has no running water or bathroom fixtures. Huh.
I thought that'd be in the Hershey building.
Well, okay, speaking of Hershey building,
Hershey
an investigator heard a female child's voice on the third floor. I knew you were going with that.
I took that a little bit off.
Wow.
All right, let's get back on the road.
lots of activity on these. Yeah, and that's just a few of the buildings.
Oh, I know.
Cause I think they said, like I said, I think I had heard on the video they had 20. But one time I guess they had 30. Yeah. What do you guys have for any other paranormal craziness? And I say craziness, because this place is crazy. By the way, mark it on the list, John.
Absolutely. I think we would be scared.
This is an article of paranormal investigating crew that went there.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the old infirmary, spent 45 minutes walking around the halls and into the darkened rooms,
mm-hmm.
picking up on some energy throughout the building, but nothing major. It wasn't until they were leaving that they turned to one of the other two investigators and said, "We didn't get a lot in here, did we?" But it was still a great way to finish the night. No sooner had they said that, then they looked back around in front of them down the torchlit hallway and saw a blackened head and shoulders pop out from the nurse's station.
Oh, nice.
Reminds me of
Waverly.
When we're at Waverly. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It had no features and wasn't a solid mass, but wasn't transparent either. It popped out for around 2 seconds, then popped right back into the station, almost to say, nothing happened, huh? Or maybe to check we were really leaving. Mm. I screamed when I saw it.
I bet.
Yeah.
More from excitement and shock than fear, I turned to the other two to see if they seen anything. I was careful not to tell them what I'd seen right away, so I didn't put any suggestions in their minds.
That'd be hard, though.
Yeah.
I would. You know.
The girl with us hadn't seen anything as she was walking behind me, but her partner said, "Yes, I saw a head pop into the doorway,"
mm-hmm.
and confirmed the sighting.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is a good shadow figure story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you notice how all these shadow figures, the places, even at Waverly, like, mm-hmm. really nobody's getting attacked by them.
Yeah.
I mean,
other than those one kids that broke into Waverly.
Well, yeah.
They
deserved it, though.
Did they say they're a shadow figure? Mm-hmm.
They're surrounded and they weren't letting them out.
But what were they?
They weren't necessarily attacking them, but they were surrounding them and wouldn't let them open the door.
Right. Yeah, I remember all that. I just don't remember what was it that they saw. Was it shadow figures?
I thought they were like black masses or shadow figures is what I understood, as I recall. But
yeah. Yeah, that's a great story. That's a great story. As he was telling us, I was like, ooh. Because then you're looking right at the door.
Yeah, you're looking at the door.
That's good. Weren't they scratching, too?
Yes.
The scratches? Yeah. One just the... Or what?
The kids?
They were trying to bang it with a...
They're hitting it with a hatchet.
Yeah.
But weren't there scratches, too? Like finger? Maybe I'm thinking of another place.
I don't recall that.
Okay.
I think the door would just beat it to heck with that hatchet. But
yeah,
and they hightailed it out of there. And, yeah,
that's right, because the door just came right open.
Yeah.
This says the children did suffer. Lots of medical professionals I work with did a stint at Pennhurst early in their careers. It was a boarding school as well as a hospital, though the more low-functioning residents were incapable of speaking, let alone learning anything. Mm-hmm. And many of the high-functioning residents never learned to read. Most of the people weren't insane, just mentally retarded, autistic, or suffering other serious physical impairments. Some residents apparently just had learning disabilities or hyperactivity and emotional problems, like we've been talking about, that made them seem more impaired. They would end up on the high-functioning wards. And it said, my colleague told me that the staff would put the high-functioning residents who acted out out to work in low-functioning wards as punishment. They even called the low-functioning wards punishment wards. Many of those kids who acted out weren't bad kids. They were often victims of bullies. The nasty kids would attack other residents with broom handles and do much worse. Mm-hmm. Some cases of death that were attributed to suicide or accident were probably extreme cases of bullying. Naturally, the bullies would seldom get caught, so when their victims acted out, they were the ones who had to slop up after the severely handicapped residents. But Pennhurst wasn't a bad organization itself. It just suffered the problems that many institutions do, and so its residents suffer too. So, and I think they talked about like these same occurrences happening, almost like residual energies of these awful accounts of people getting beat or murdered or raped. All the stuff happened. Abuse happened. They say there was a janitor that was abusive to some of the lower functioning girls, and they were mean to him and did things that were just heinous. And they say that his spirit still goes around and is hanging out there doing awful things. And so you can feel the negative, horrible energy from him. So,
you know, a lot of this is easy to say in 2023. Oh my gosh, how could they do?
Right.
Like, not that if they were beating them, raping them, brutalizing them, pulling up. That should have never happened at all, because that's obviously, they could have recognized that's not how you treat people. But just like the general care, you know, if we were 100 years ago, you know, like generally if they had good intentions and they're really trying to help some of these people and all these places we talked about, you know, they at Waverly, the guy was trying different things because he thought really that was going to help them. You know, now we wouldn't do it 100 years later, but that's easy for us to say because now we know what, you know, and so we evolve and we learn like I said, the abuse, there's no excuse. I don't care what decade. Some of the non-abuse, the stuff that they did try to do to help these people, I mean, they didn't know any better. They just didn't know. So it's easy for us to say that. But yeah, the awful things they did to these people, that has... I don't care when that happened.
Waverly was, I remember it was cutting edge, but they would put heavy weighted sacks on them to think that would help with their breathing space, or do those, you know, removing ribs or cutting out parts of lungs and all that kind of stuff. And then doing electroconvulsive therapies on them, but thinking, you know, and then that just made it worse and worse and worse. So they didn't die from the TB, they died from, you know, the treatments at the time, or got worse anyway.
I just found a thing, what you're talking about, the treatment of the patients. Pennhurst only spent $5.90 per resident per day, compared to the $7.15 spent on each animal in the largest zoos in the country.
Watched a video. Well, I didn't watch it because I was driving. But I wanted to. It's those two guys we've talked about. They one's an Asian guy, I think. Maybe he's not Asian. Like, I say that. But they're real funny. The one guy's really funny.
The guys that did the lighthouse.
Yes. I caught that the last second before I left the house. So I thought, okay, I'm going to listen to them as I'm heading to Nate's. And it's 25 minute video, and I listened to like 10. But one of the things, Nate, they said that the $5.90 to the patients of the asylum, but they spent $7.15. on animals, like the care per day. It's like, wait a minute. You know, I'm an animal person, but that should be flipped around easily.
And then I also
I'm glad you brought that up.
In one of the buildings, the shadow man named Fisher has been caught multiple times on camera by investigators.
Fisher, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that's his... You know how like they'll name these entities? Mm. Oh, that's Floyd, you know. Mm. But I wonder if like his... It doesn't say anything about like that was his name? Or like, they think it's some guy named Fisher back in the day? Or oh, okay.
Then they said reports of people feeling like they've been stabbed with a needle by an angry nurse ghost.
Ooh.
Raising questions about the asylum's dark history and treatment of patients.
Right. Now, I don't mind needles. They can draw blood any day. I don't mind. But now let's just calm it down here, nurse crazy. I'm trying to go through on a tour and investigation. I don't need my blood drawn, or I don't need to be put under here. That would be, you know, we talk about them, people getting punched, kicked, shoved, and you know, that needle feel. I don't know. That'd be a little creepy.
This is interesting because this is from somebody that's anonymous, but it's titled The Penhurst Family Album. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Penhurst at night, it scared me half to death. When the wind blows across the building, it sounds like someone walking. There were dead animals there and what looked like blood in some of the equipment. Once is enough. I'm never going back. But there was this one room that was really interesting. It was strewn with papers and photographs, carpeted with them, wall to wall. I didn't read the papers, but the black and white photographs looked like something from a family album. Isn't that weird?
That's
weird. And that would be unnerving.
The whole thing, everything we talk about in this place is really odd, weird, creepy. It's kind of right up our alley, right?
All right.
Another person's experience. So they have had several experiences in Mayflower. In the basement, my friend Lori and I heard the distinct sound of laughing children and felt the ominous presence of Mr. King, the male spirit who is said to rule the roost down there. A small female spirit attempted to try and make contact over a ghost box in the basement's padded room. And on the third floor, I had a male inmate come through in the room that has the old-fashioned wheelchair. He identified himself as an inmate over the ghost box. The hallways on the third floor are an excellent spot to lay out any objects such as periscopes or roomie pods. As a nurse is said to keep watch up there. Indeed, I have seen them go off one by one when lined up.
Hmm.
In the newly opened tunnels under Rockwell, while peering in one of the windows of the locked doors, I heard a voice clearly whisper, "Don't," in my ear.
That would be creepy. Imagine.
However, my worst encounter.
Oh, you're still going.
Yeah.
Oh, keep
one
going.
More paragraph.
No, I that's awesome.
However, my worst encounter ever happened in Devon, which is no longer open to the public. In one of the restrooms on the second floor, I was in a back stall when I felt something behind me breathe on my neck and lick my ear.
Oh,
I shot out of there quickly.
Hey,
the bathrooms were where much of the abuse happened. In the large bathroom on the first floor, we heard rape come over a ghost box.
Nice. Real nice.
Yeah, that
awful.
Freaky.
So licking the ear,
breathing on the neck, and licking the ear.
That might be that might be the thing. It's like, that's awesome, and
ooh,
I'm out of here.
Are you ready for me to take it off the list?
Sean, take it off.
Take that back off.
This is... Wow, I don't think we ever heard that one.
I think the one thing about this place... I
guess it could have been bitten.
...is that there is so much to learn...
Oh, behave.
...to learn from it. And one thing...
Penhurst, baby!
You know, I knew enough to be dangerous about Penhurst before studying this or looking into it. But it really did, especially with that documentary, it did highlight the problems with these institutions, and it did get things to change, ultimately. But now they still have the Penhurst Memorial and Preservation Alliance, which I think is a beautiful
thing. Yes, they do.
The mission of Penhurst Memorial and Preservation Alliance is to promote an understanding of the struggle for dignity and full civil rights for persons with disabilities using the little-known history of Pennhurst. By sharing this tragic story as well as its landmark victories, we seek to educate citizens in local, national, and international communities to assure that we never go back. The vision of the Pennhurst Memorial and Preservation Alliance is to be part of an effort to create a world-class museum to honor and memorialize the ongoing civil and human rights struggle of Americans with disabilities at a local, of national significance. To assure that we never go back to those old days.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's unfortunately those people had to go through things that
That's kind of how
today you learn from. I mean, this is how it goes.
In so many different ways, but this is definitely an important way for us to get to a better place. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, my wife being in education place, for 20 years. I mean, if she was in education in the 1930s, 40s, I mean, would have been totally different. Heck, it was different 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they learn different ways and better ways, hopefully. If you guys have anything, one more thing or whatever, fine. But I'm going to wrap it up with a review. So if you guys
have one more thing.
Yeah.
EVPs have captured some spooky results, including people saying such things as "get out, run, and I'll kill you."
Ooh. Okay.
Strong words.
Yeah. Tell me twice. Yeah. Can you imagine? Run. Why? I'll kill you. Okay.
I'll kill you.
So this is a review, August, pretty recent, I mean 2018. So they give it 4 out of 5. It says, went on a Sunday into a Monday for the overnight ghost hunt. Cost was about $100 per person. This is not where they are, where they do the acting and costumes. This is an opportunity to answer the age-old question, do ghosts really exist? Expect other people to be there. When I went there, there are about 30 other investigators. You have access to the entire Mayflower building as well as the portions of the Philadelphia and Rockwell tunnels. My advice would be bring your own equipment, but they do have some there that is free to use. That's cool. It says the chaperones don't hold your hand. They let you free roam the areas, and there were many opportunities to have quiet times to capture EVPs or hear disembodied noises. Says, all in all, it was a pretty cool experience, and I would recommend any fledgling ghost hunter. Are we fledgling? Well, we're kind of fledgling here, right?
Perhaps, I mean.
Yeah.
Pertence what
the hell. Any fledgling ghost hunter to check it out. Just wish the price wasn't so high. But it was well worth it for us as we stayed the entire time and ended up being part of only 4 people in the entire building. That would be cool. As big as it is.
Yeah.
The reviews I looked at were all, you gotta go. Mm-hmm. It's all like 5 stars. I mean, they were like, everybody seemed to really appreciate it.
One site. This is different, but another site I looked at for reviews, one gave it a 1 star or whatever, and they said,
boo.
Way overhyped, way overrated, terrible. Terrible, I was like, okay, but it's just.
You don't know until you go.
We talk about all these places, like, yeah, you could go, and. Whatever. It's people are different.
Like,
they have different experiences.
Right? Yeah.
No, I get it. We went to Whispers Estate. They didn't really have a whole lot happen there.
And another
Jerry
went.
They had tons.
And
of
they
stuff.
Loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, it's
must have been that creepy lady's night off though.
It's like it's like restaurants. I mean, you get on Plainfield Chatter, and oh my gosh, don't go here, don't go there. This is terrible. And I'm like, I love that place. I've never had bad service, or the food's always cooked right, or they've never messed up my order. But then other people. That's it. Everything was wrong. Everything was terrible. Nothing went right.
So. It is about perspective a lot of times. But.
Anyway, that is the Pennhurst Asylum. Pretty creepy place, huh?
Heck yeah.
Pretty sad. Pretty sad history.
Yes, for sure.
Very brutal. I think, like I said, this one really got to me more than even the others, and we've talked about some bad places. So, hope the creepies enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Sean. I'm going to say a middle-aged dark side.
You're correct. That is absolutely right. I'm deciding, because just of the levity of this discussion, I'm going to go with Kansas's Dust in the Wind.
I love that song. Reminds me of the when I was little and watching the MTV, they had that video and they were standing. I just love it. It's just a calming. I know. I loved it.
Kansas's acoustic hit "Dust in the Wind" is a reflective song about the inevitability of mortality and the insignificant role every person plays in the bigger picture. It was written by guitarist Kenny Livgren, who was inspired by a Native American poem containing the line, "For all we are dust in the wind." The music came from a picking exercise he was doing that his wife suggested he make a song of it. It was the addition to their album. "Dust in the Wind" was a top 10 hit in the U.S. and Canada in the spring of 77. It remains the biggest hit of their career. Ironically, the band's most well-known song does not reflect their typical hard rock sound as heard on "Carry On, My Wayward Son," "Point of No Return," and "Fight Fire with Fire." It goes, "I close my eyes, only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes, a curiosity. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Same old song, just a drop of water in an endless sea. All we do crumples to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind." You know, yeah, I'm not going to go that far. Don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away, and all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Dust in the wind. Everything is dust in the wind. Everything is dust in the wind. The wind. Right, is the outro. Whew. Yeah, it was funny because when my grandfather passed away in 94 and we were at the cemetery burying him, the minister was standing there with my brother and I, and my brother brought up Dust in the Wind. He's like, it just, in that moment, that's the song he was thinking of. And the minister was talking about, like, yeah, that was a really great song, and it is one of those things you should reflect on, you know, how quick time goes by, how insignificant, you know, you are in the scheme of things. But not to bring things down, but it just, mm-hmm. more to me, this is about Thanksgiving, right, and being grateful. And very also mm-hmm. grateful that things, I like to think things are getting better. I don't know, sometimes don't turn on the news if you're, it might seem the other way. But yeah. So I do love that song. It has a good message, you know, a very somber message. But
yeah, it is. That's a good song. Mm-hmm. That's a good pick.
Yes, thank you.
The other day, not last week, the week before, I literally had to go, like, I on purpose, 2 days in a row. Actually, most of the week, but like, I just avoided getting on the political and social stuff on all the social media. It's like, get wrapped up, and I like all the sparring, and I think I'm going to convince everybody to, you know, I'm going to change their minds. But I literally just, like, I have to detox from that stuff.
Oh, have to.
You know? Mm-hmm. You have to. And it's not that I'm trying to, like, nope, you know, eyes closed, ears shut, I don't want to know. I just don't need it every single day.
Yeah.
Things aren't going to change.
You don't need to overindulge on it, I agree.
Right, and I'm really bad at doing that, and I just got, so when I had my really good week, I had like 8 or 9 days straight. That's a lot of it was that reason. I'm like, huh. Let me see here. Well, there was a reason. Yeah. It was just one less thing.
Long time listener, first time caller. Is that?
Yeah, right. I was like, ding, 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 ding. Hey.
They're connected. The dots.
Yeah. So, no, well, that was
good. I know what you mean, though.
Yeah. That was a good choice, though. Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Sean?
Yes.
Second announcements, please.
I have the second part of the announcements right here in front of me. Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Email us at makeupodcast@gmail.com. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned, and or your business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
Man, nailed it. I mean, nailed it.
Thank you.
Professional.
He's professional. You know, I'm thankful that he did it well. Well, thanks, Sean, for that.
Yes.
That was great. Nate.
Yes.
Can you take us out of here, brother?
Well, you know, when you stab yourself in the hand with your pen, it hurts.
Oh,
and that's a wrap.
Wow.
You've been coming up with that one all weekend.
Boom. I mean, I was like, what's he
I was like, that's pretty good, though.
It does hurst a lot. Hurt a lot. That was good. Good, Nate. Almost gone, Sean.
Hurts a lot.
I'm sorry. Don't hold that against me.
That's funny.
Thank you, Nate, for that. Yeah. That was an awesome wrap on that. Man, I don't know if you can... Well, he always exceeds.
He does.
I want to say, I don't know if he can outdo himself, but who knows with this guy.
Yeah, that's top five.
That is top five. Maybe top three.
Or the hedgehog plate, that was it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Nate. And thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 142 and our discussion on the creepy and historical Penhurst Asylum. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.